Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, and welcome to The Law According to Amber. Every other Monday, we'll discuss controversial topics with a mixture of opinion and legal facts. Thus, The Law According to Amber. Be sure to give me a follow on Facebook at The Law According to Amber, as well as Instagram, same name, The Law According to Amber. Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of The Law According to Amber. So I've been yelling in the streets and my voice is raspy, so y'all be patient with me, but we're going to get through this because I think it's really important that we break down exactly what's happening here in the city of Memphis right now and how we got to where we are right now. So, of course, we've been seeking justice for Tyree. Tyree Nichols is a 29-year-old black man who loved to skateboard, who loved to watch the sunset. He loved his mom, Miss Maron Wells. He loved his stepfather and his siblings. He was very close with them. And he was unjustly murdered on January 7th. January 7th, Tyree was stopped for a traffic stop by what's considered the Scorpion Unit, a task force unit used within the Memphis Police Department under the umbrella of other task force, the Multi-Level Gang Unit and the Organized Crime Unit. These units derived from a idea to over-police black neighborhoods, because we know that when it comes to black folks, instead of giving them resources, instead of giving them fresh food to eat or adequate transportation or adequate schools with, you know, proper funding, we over-police them and we complain and say this is necessary because there's just so much crime here. When realistically, the only people committing the crimes are the cops. So January 7th, Tyree was pulled over. He was brutally beat to death by 5 police officers. But he was originally stopped by a white officer, Detective Hemphill, who tased him and then bragged about tasing him afterwards and said, "I hope they stomp his ass," to the other officers who were chasing after Tyree after he ran from being tased. And he incited violence on Tyree. After Tyree was brutally beaten, you can see in the body cam footage afterwards that they were plotting their story, getting it together, how they were finna lie about what happened. And the EMTs and firefighters who were on the scene didn't help Tyree. They stood around for about 20 minutes. He was already dead on the scene. And they just stood around and didn't help, didn't render any aid. It's truly disgusting. Tyree was then taken to the hospital, St. Francis Hospital here in Memphis, and was put on life support. And it said that the officers who took him tried to get the doctors to say that Tyree died at the hospital, but they wouldn't do that and made sure the parents knew that Tyree was already dead when he got there. And his mom stated that the doctor just pretty much put him on life support for her and his siblings so they could get there to the hospital because he was no longer alive at that point. So then his family and folks who knew him started reaching out for help and getting attention on the case. And I found out about what happened to Tyree like a few days later. On Saturday, we held a balloon release to honor Tyree and his life at the corner of Ross and Raines, where it was said by the police that he was stopped for a DUI and reckless driving and was presumed that that's where he was murdered. But it turns out that's not where he was murdered, actually, from a Skycam cop, which is actually cameras that the cops put up in black neighborhoods because they said that we need to be surveilled and watched 24/7 because, you know, the crime is just so high. So instead of spending money on resources for our communities, they put up cameras to surveil us. And lo and behold, the first thing they catch is the cops committing the crime. So that was the 14th of January where we held that that balloon release and vigil for him. And then we went to the Ridgeway station because that's where it's said by folks that a lot of those people in the MGU, OCU, and other like Scorpion units, those task force units were being held. Like those officers came out of that precinct. So we went there to make some noise. I think it's important that we as the public, we get out and lift up our voices for the need for justice for Tyree. Mr. Rodney, Tyree's dad, took a picture of Tyree in the hospital. You wouldn't even recognize. He was completely unrecognizable from the way that they beat him so severely. And we took those pictures to the precinct to make sure folks know what happened to Tyree. This is what you did to someone. His family went, you know, and just cried out for justice because that's what we want for Tyree. Justice for Tyree. The next day, we talked with the family to see, you know, what they were feeling comfortable with. And personally felt that we need to make some noise around this. So MLK Day was coming up on the 16th. I found out where the mayor was going to be. He was doing a MLK Luminary Award ceremony where they honor neighborhood leaders. And I thought it was very interesting that that's what he was doing because if MLK knew about what happened to Tyree, he'd be in the streets with us. He'd be seeking justice for Tyree as well. Instead of eating, you know, grits and waffles and shrimp and drinking, you know, cute little drinks, MLK would have been asking for justice as well. And so we pulled up on the mayor, me and several other organizers, one of my homies, LJ, Hunter, Barbara, Cassio, Frank, just several organizers and activists in the movement here in Memphis pulled up on the event, and I interrogated the mayor. I asked him questions. Matter of fact, let me play some of it for you.
And I don't know about it in hell, but
Mayor Strickland, do you have anything to say? Mayor Strickland, do you have anything to say about Tyree Nichols being murdered by MPD?
It's an awful, sad situation.
Mm-hmm. So can you join us to ask for the body cam for the security?
We're working on that right now.
How long is that going to take?
I don't know.
I think that it should be immediately considered. I think it should be immediately considered he was murdered by the police.
Tragic situation.
So this keen part I really want y'all to listen in on is me saying that police keep murdering people here in Memphis, and listen to the mayor's answer to that.
It is, and the police keep murdering people here in Memphis. So what kind of stuff are you going to take?
No, they don't keep murdering people.
This is another person who's been murdered by the police.
The mayor said, no, MPD doesn't keep killing people. When, since December of 2022, four people have been killed by MPD. That includes Tyree and three people who have been shot, who haven't been named because the TBI is doing an investigation. And a tactic they like to do here is that when someone is fatally killed, no matter what the situation is, by police, they immediately bring in TBI so that we can't get any information until that investigation has ended. And I think it's really interesting because they know that the public is watching. They know that we're not letting up on these instances that keep happening here. And so instead of that, they try to hide information and hold it in the light of, well, this is the best way for us to get a transparent investigation. And that's just not true. So just to add a little context, that action at the event with the mayor was because they had put out a statement saying that they were going to be serving the officer's notice. They put out a media release saying that. And we want to know what that meant. It wasn't very clear. It said they'd be serving the officer's notice. And so after going to the event and interrogating the mayor is when I found out that they were going to be having a hearing at the end of the week. He told me that they would have a hearing at the end of the week, and then those findings from that hearing would come out the same day. So that hearing did happen on Friday, January 20th. And then they put out a notice saying that they had fired all five officers who brutally beat Tyree. And then they posted their pictures. It was five black officers. I'm going to also make sure I read out their names because I think it's important that we know who these dangerous people are in our communities. Alrighty, so the first officer, Tadarius Bean, he is a black man, 5'10", 5 feet 10 inches tall, His registered weight was 230 pounds. I'm going to mention all these details for a specific reason after I finish naming the officers. He graduated from high school in 2016 from Center Hill High School in Olive Branch, where he played football. In May 2020, he graduated from the University of Mississippi with a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. In August 2020, the Memphis Police Department here in Memphis, Tennessee, hired him. On January 7, 2023, he and his fellow Memphis Police Department officers, Demetrius Haley, Emmett Martin III, Desmond Mills Jr., and Justin Smith, allegedly caused the injuries of Tyree Nichols, who was pronounced dead on January 2023, but was already dead on January 7th, 2023. So I do think it's important to remind y'all of that fact. Like I said before, they were all fired on January 20th. He was 24 years old when he was arrested on January 26th. He was charged with second-degree murder, official oppression, aggravated kidnapping while possessing a weapon, aggravated assault acting in concert, official misconduct through unauthorized exercising of official power, two counts of aggravated kidnapping causing bodily injury, and two counts of official misconduct through failure to perform a duty imposed by law. The second officer, Demetrius Haley, he's lived in different parts of Tennessee. He's also a former employee of the Shelby County Division of Corrections and the Memphis Police Department, which are both in Memphis. He is 6 feet, 1 inch tall, and he's registered at 260 pounds. On May 16th, 2015, he and his fellow Shelby County Division of Correction officers, David Dyson, allegedly strip searched and beat an inmate, Cordarius Sledge, at the penal farm, until Sledge blacked out under the supervision of Danny McClain. On April 19th, 2016, Cordarius Sledge filed a federal civil rights complaint against him, Dyson, and McClain. On March 2nd, 2018, Judge Thomas Anderson dismissed the lawsuit Sledge filed against him, Dyson, and McClain. In August 2020, the Memphis Police Department hired him. On January 7th, 2023, he, along with those fellow officers, beat Tyree Nichols, causing the injuries that led to his death. He also was fired on January 20th and arrested on January 26th, 2023. He's 29 years old currently. He was charged with second-degree murder, official oppression, aggravated kidnapping while possessing a weapon, aggravated assault acting in concert, official misconduct through unauthorized exercising of official power, two counts of aggravated kidnapping causing bodily injury, and two counts of official misconduct through failure to perform a duty imposed by law. The next officer is Justin Smith. He's a resident of Memphis as well. He's 5 feet 11 inches tall and 205 pounds. He was only 1 year younger than Tyree at 28 years old. He was hired by MPD in 2018. And on January 7th, 2023, he beat Tyree Nichols along with those other officers, leading to those injuries that caused his death. He was fired on January 20th as well and arrested on January 26th. He was charged with second-degree murder, official oppression, aggravated kidnapping while possessing a weapon, aggravated assault, acting in concert, official misconduct through unauthorized exercising of official power, two counts of aggravated kidnapping causing bodily injury, and two counts of official misconduct through the failure to perform a duty imposed by law. The next officer is Emmett Martin III. He is 6 feet, 3 inches tall, registered in at 270 pounds. He went to Bethel University from 2010 to 2014 and was a member of the football team. He graduated in 2015 with a bachelor's degree in criminal justice and corrections. In March 2018, the Memphis Police Department hired him, and he was a part of the department's Scorpion unit. On January 7th, along with those other officers, he beat Tyree Nichols to death that led to his injuries. On January 20th, he was also fired and arrested on January 26th. He's 30 years old. He was charged with second-degree murder, official oppression, aggravated kidnapping while possessing a weapon, aggravated assault acting in concert, official misconduct through unauthorized exercising of official power, 2 counts of aggravated kidnapping causing bodily injury, and 2 counts of official misconduct through failure to perform a duty imposed by law. The next officer is Desmond Mills Jr. Desmond previously lived in Maine and has lived in different parts of Connecticut, including Hartford and Bloomfield, and different parts of West Virginia, including Charleston and Institute. He is a former jailer in Tennessee and Mississippi. He's 5 feet 10 inches tall. His registered weight is 297 pounds. And from 2011 to 2014, he attended West Virginia State University in Institute, West Virginia, where he played football. In March 2017, the Memphis Police Department hired him, and he became a part of the department's Scorpion Unit. On January 7th, he, along with those other officers, beat Tyree Nichols to death from those injuries they caused. He was fired on January 20th and arrested on January 26th. He was 32 years old. He's 32 years old currently. He's charged with second-degree murder, official oppression, aggravated kidnapping while possessing a weapon, aggravated assault, acting in concert, official misconduct through exercising of official power, 2 counts of aggravated kidnapping causing bodily injury, and 2 counts of official misconduct through failure to perform a duty imposed by law. So, back to our timeline. This happened on the 20th that they were fired, and those charges were filed on the 26th, and they turned themselves in. Those mugshots came out, and they paid their bonds. So after them paying their bonds, during the press conference, D.A. Mulroy, who's a D.A. here, D.A. Steve Mulroy, this district attorney, he's the one who's solely capable to charge folks, to indict folks with crimes. He said that the video, body cam footage, which is the main demand of the family, will be released after 6 p.m. on the 27th. After learning of that, me and other organizers and activists here in the city that we have been working with, who have been working with the family and pushing those demands that they have, organized a protest for the 27th. At this point, from the action that previous week on the 16th, MLK Day, to the city council meeting we went to on the 17th and held a demonstration, to the officers being fired on the 20th, to those charges being filed on the 26th, to the 27th when the body cam footage had been released, we have been pushing the same demands. And I'm going to repeat what those are. The first demand was for the body cam footage to be released. The second demand was for everyone involved, every officer involved to be charged accordingly for whatever role they played in Tyree being murdered. That also includes the EMTs, the firefighters, and any other public personnel that was on the scene, because they all played a part in Tyree being murdered. The next demand was to release the names and files of everyone involved, because I do think it's important that if you will sit around and watch someone die, if you'll sit around and beat someone to death, if you'll sit around and incite violence on someone that leads to their death, you're a danger to the public, you're a danger to our community, and we should know exactly who you are. On the 27th, they released the body cam footage, and we held a protest before the body cam footage came out, because I think it's very important that we don't continue to give this message that you have to watch someone be brutalized and murdered to believe that it actually happened to them. And we believe Black people when they tell us something happened to them. I know I do, and I know my comrades who I organize with do. And we believe Tyree's mama when she said what happened to her baby. We believe Tyree's father, Rodney, who said, you know, this is the picture of him in the hospital, and we know that he was brutally beaten. We believe them. And I don't have to watch a video of that and re-traumatize myself as a Black person who already experiences over-policing and over-criminalization every day in my everyday life. I don't have to watch that video to see that. But what I did watch was portions of the video at the end that showed the officers bragging about what they did. Man, you see how many times I hit him? You see how I hit him with this? I hit him with the hemlock. I hit him with the baton. Just disgusting. What we also saw was that there was a white officer on the scene who approached Tyree first, who tased Tyree. And then when Tyree was tased and he ran, that white officer, who I then researched and discovered, is Detective Preston Hemphill. He's only 26 years old. I can't imagine being a murderer at 26. But Detective Preston Hemphill is heard on body cam footage saying, yeah, Martin and someone else is running after him now. I hope they stomp his ass. Inciting violence on Tyree. No de-escalation. Same things we complain about. There's no de-escalation happening here. Obviously, Tyree is in distress. They tased him. They chasing him. But he hopes they stomp his ass. He hopes they hurt him. Because that's what we do. Because that's how we see black people. We don't see black people as whole and human. We see them as less than. And so that's why we over-criminalize them. That's why we over-patrol their neighborhoods. And that's why we pull them over and assault them. Because that's how we view black folks. At the time that the body cam footage was released, Detective Preston Hemphill was not announced as being charged with anything. And so from that moment on, from the 27th, instead of watching the body cam footage, me and other organizers and hundreds of folks in Memphis took to the streets. We went to the organized crime unit headquarters downtown on Channel 3 Drive and held a demonstration there. And then we marched. We marched and took over the highway and then went over to the I-55 bridge, which is one of the largest bridges that holds interstate commerce between Arkansas and Memphis. And we know that that's going to impact anything. If anything, that's going to make the impact the most. So we took over the bridge and we held that bridge for 4 hours. So much so that the mayor called me, because although he didn't want to talk at that press conference, although he didn't want to give me any information then, now that we've stopped commerce, he sent somebody on a four-wheeler to find me to talk to me about how he can get us off the bridge. And I told him simply, disband the Scorpion unit. He made excuses. He said he can't do that. What else can I do to get you off the bridge? I said, disband the Scorpion unit. We'll give you 30 minutes. I had a friend with me, Josh, who's also a member of the official BLM member Memphis chapter, with me. And he said, that's not true. It's your sole authority. You have the sole power as the mayor to make those decisions, which is true. The Memphis City Charter gives the mayor so much power, probably the most power I've seen in a minute for most metropolitan cities. And he does have the power to make that call and make that happen. He wasn't willing to do that, so we stayed on the bridge. We held up traffic. Police showed up. We still stayed on that bridge. Held up traffic. At one point, the truckers were even standing with us, because they know how important it is to stand up for justice and to hold up commerce and make sure folks know that we're not playing. We're serious. And that looks like us staying here and holding up this bridge as long as we got to. Once we had been out there for about 5 hours, we marched through, came off of the bridge and marched through back to the park where we started the protest, because I also think it's important to keep folks safe. And it was very cold. It was 20 degrees outside. Folks had been out there for hours. We went and bought some pizza, got some drinks, make sure folks had water and snacks. At one point, there was even someone stuck on the bridge, an elderly couple, and one of them was a diabetic. And marshals were checking on folks in the cars, because although we are going to hold up this commerce, we want to make sure that we're doing it in a safe way. She was a diabetic and she hadn't eaten till noon. We took her some snacks. We want to make sure everyone is safe, even as we're doing what we got to do to be heard. So we marched those folks back to the OCU headquarters and reconvene to organize the next protest. So on the 27th, we did that. On the 28th, we held a protest downtown at the Memphis Police Headquarters, because at this point, we still haven't gotten charges for everybody involved. We still haven't had, you know, our demands met. While out in the streets, literally marching downtown on Poplar Avenue, one of the busiest streets in Memphis, we got news that CJ Davis had put out a press release disbanding or deactivating the Scorpion unit permanently. Big win for us, right? All of this has led up, every action we've done, all of these different demonstrations have led up to us getting these demands met. So at this point, we're happy, we're ready to go, and keep pushing for the next demands to be met. And at this same protest, we had City Councilman J.B. Smiley, who was the vice chairman of the city council, and Martavis Jones, who was the chairman, come out and speak about the ordinances that we're going to be having passed, because we need to prevent this from ever happening again in our city. And we as organizers know what that looks like. And now that that video had come out and folks had seen what happened to Tyree, we made sure we got those city council folks out to talk about how we got to make this happen. And what does that look like? So we've been pushing for a Data Transparency Act for actually since 2020. And it's sad that it took for another person to be unjustly murdered for us to be able to pass these different ordinances. The Data Transparency Act will require that all traffic stops are made public on a database, on a public website, in real time for folks to see. Because it's important that we know what's actually happening to people during these traffic stops, and we don't know because there's no transparency. There's no data being tracked and required to show what's happening, and we have to do that data and research on our own. I organized with a group called Decarcerate Memphis, who actually put in FOIAs and public requests for the information on traffic citations from 2017 to 2021. And then they compiled that data. And after compiling that data and getting all the research together, presented at the city council meeting, because we want to make sure the city council knew how dangerous this was. And this was in December of last year. So know that they have been warned previously about how dangerous these pretextual traffic stops were, but it took someone being murdered for us actually to be heard. At that city council meeting, we discussed with the committee, because it was a committee meeting, sorry, not a city council meeting. We discussed with the committee how dangerous pretextual traffic stops were. In a sample of 487 criminal court cases stemming from traffic stops in 2019 and 2021, 90% of defendants were people of color, 93% of whom faced only misdemeanor traffic charges. Two-thirds of cases were dropped, but that was only after days were wasted going to court. And we noticed a pattern that the traffic patrols were the traffic patrols were concentrated in low-income areas, and as the median income of a zip code decreased, the drivers would appear more frequently in court. That's a clear pattern of discrimination. Decarcerate Memphis analyzed traffic citations issued between 2017 and 2021, as I said previously, and there were clear patterns of discrimination. Black men were cited 3.4 times as often as white men, and black women were cited 4.7 times as often as white women. So black men are being cited 3.4 times more than our white counterparts, and black women are being cited 4.7 times more than white women in the city of Memphis. And I also think it's important to discuss the fact that Memphis is a majority black city, and the fact that our citizens in lower income areas and impoverished areas aren't getting resources, but we are getting financial hardships. The city didn't take us seriously then. The police chief has made excuses. The mayor, of course, didn't do nothing per usual. And then here we are in January having to push for justice for Tyree because we weren't heard and we weren't listened to. So after we held that protest at the Memphis Police Headquarters, which is right by the city council building, and we had those city council members come out and say, hey, we're going to be supporting these ordinances. JB has helped to write them with us, as the Decarcerate group has been writing them. He's going to be pushing those ordinances. And so we're going to get that Data Transparency Act passed. The next ordinance that we're going to get passed is an ordinance ending the use of law enforcement for pretextual traffic stops. This was a pretextual traffic stop, Tyree being pulled over. And most traffic stops, especially by these task force units, are pretextual traffic stops. What does that mean? Those are traffic stops where folks are using whatever they consider as pretext to pull people over, when the only pretext is really driving while black. So, since then, we've organized another protest for today. Tyree, like I said before, loved the sunset. And so we're going to have a sunset protest in his honor at his favorite place, Shelby Farms Park. He loved to go to Shelby Farms and watch the sunset. And actually, on that day, January 7th, where he was murdered, He was coming back, his mom said, from the park, just enjoying his Saturday. Can't even enjoy your day. Can't even just be out here enjoying nature without being criminalized against. And so we're holding a protest for him today because we think it's important to keep his name alive and make sure folks know that we want justice for Tyree. Following that, we're going to have Tyree's funeral on Wednesday here in Memphis. And of course, I'll be attending along with other organizers and other community members to show his family support and to honor Tyree. And then on Saturday, February 4th, it's a National Day of Action for Tyree. We're all taking to the streets all across the U.S. There'll be folks from D.C., from California, from Oregon, from Philly, from Louisville, from Indianapolis, from New Orleans, all across the United States. Michigan, folks are showing up for Tyree and have been showing up since the beginning of this. And we want to keep that momentum going and make sure folks know that we're not letting up. We're going to get justice for Tyree. So, if you are in a city and you know a movement org in the area, or you are connected to one, show up for our National Day of Action. That'll look like different things based off where you are. People are having press conferences, rallies, Black Joy art demonstrations, protests. It'll look like something different in each place, but we're going to show up for Tyree. So I implore y'all to join in on this national call. Follow local organizers like myself. You can follow my podcast, of course, on Facebook and Instagram at The Law According to Amber. But for specific things around Tyree and getting justice for Tyree, you can follow me on Twitter at Amberisms, AmberIsms underscore, or Amber Sherman underscore on Twitter. I have two Twitter accounts because I talk reckless and, you know, that's what happens. But you can get information there. Also Cleo Burris on Facebook, Cassio on Facebook, Hunter Dempster on Facebook, LJ Abrams, all of those folks are going to be posting. I don't post on Facebook as much, honestly, just because I use it for family and stuff. I don't make a lot of my posts public. So there might be a few things up there, but there isn't going to be much. So the best way to find things is going to be on Twitter or my Instagram, AS for Afro. If folks want to contribute to the Bell Fund, the official Black Lives Matter Memphis chapter is orchestrating the Bell support. And if you would like to donate to that, I'm also going to put this in the show notes. But if you'd like to donate to that, you can go to bit.ly/OKBCMMDONATE. So OBLM Memphis donate, but you want to make sure you use those specific capital letters. You can also follow Decarcerate Memphis on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. They'll be posting things. And the official BLM Memphis chapter, we're on Twitter as BLM Memphis and Instagram as official_BLM_Memphis and Facebook official BLM Memphis. I'll make sure to put those links as well in the description. And I appreciate y'all, one, for listening to this and getting a breakdown of knowing what's actually happening here on the ground instead of listening to national news, because we know, just like the police, the news want to frame things in a certain way, and sometimes it's a lie. And two, for showing up for Tyree. Tyree was 29 years old. Oh, this is why I mentioned those officers' height and weight. Tyree was 29 years old, 6'3", 140 pounds. I can't imagine what it feels like to feel the brute force of almost 1,000 pounds on your 140 pound body. And that alone killed Tyree. Those actions of those officers beating him alone with all of that force and all of that weight killed Tyree. And I think it's important to make sure folks know that this was a small guy. Although he was tall, he was small. And, you know, all of that violence towards him was just unacceptable. I'm only 1 year younger than Tyree. And I think about the fact that I know people who have similar demographic makeup as Tyree. Tall, had Crohn's disease. Tyree had Crohn's disease. Within that same age range, under 30, I think about those black men that I know and how this could have been them. We have to continue to show up for Tyree, and we have to continue to show up for this family. Thank you for listening. As always, this is The Law According to Amber. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Same name, The Law According to Amber.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.